There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Live sport. This is The Grill
with Tom Urquhart,
exclusively on Dubai Eye 103.8, where we, you, and the world of sport gets to have a say.
Second hour of the show in conversation with Andy Meikle of 10 at the New Sporting app. We'll be finding out more from him and answering, getting more questions and answers from here in just a few moments' time. Plus, we've got live in the Premier League, we've got live cricket down at Headingley. We've got golf on both sides of the pond from Denmark, but also from the Northern Trust over in the United States. We'll keep you updated on that one. Action from La Vuelta over in Spain. Plus, we look ahead to the US Open, which gets underway on Monday. So all the latest from tennis correspondents here in the region. We've got more rugby for you and, of course, plenty of football to look forward to. So keep it locked here on Dubai I-103.8. Plus, coming up in this second hour, we meet the former undefeated WBO minimum weight champion. Paulie Weir is live with us. He'll be talking up tomorrow's big fight between Mayweather and McGregor. If you've got opinions, share them with us. Text them to us now on 4001. Get involved on Twitter. It's at Dubai Eye Sport. Please have your say and make it known with us here on The Grills. We're live from Brasta between now and 6.
You're listening to The Grill, only on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Getting back to Andy in just a few moments' time, let's get some live scores for you, though. First up, Chris McCarty watching the football.
Yeah, 35 minutes gone at the Vitality Stadium, Tom. I can tell you this is a really good lunchtime early kickoff, this one, in the Premier League. It remains Bournemouth 1, Manchester City 1, but there's been chances at both ends. It was Charlie Daniels with what can only be described as one of the contenders for goal of the season. A left-footed volley that left Ederson with absolutely no chance. That put Bournemouth ahead. Jermaine Defoe then had a wonderful opportunity to make it 2-0. He missed that. A fine save from Ederson, and then straight up the other end, Manchester City on the attack. David Silva, the diminutive playmaker, threaded the ball through Gabriel Jesus, shrugged off the attentions of Nathan Aki, and then just toe-poked it past Asmir Begovic. In the last few moments, the last 5 or 6 minutes, it's been all Manchester City. Gabriel Jesus again testing Asmir Begovic, and then just a few short moments ago, Danilo raiding down the right-hand side, flashed a wonderful cross across goal. No one in a blue shirt, though, on the end of it. So this is a really good game, this. I'm expecting more goals. It remains, though, at the Vitality Stadium on the south coast of England. It remains Bournemouth 1, Manchester City 1.
Qualifying underway for pole position at the Belgian Grand Prix. We'll keep an eye on that one for you. Also get a report at the end of proceedings, at the end of qualifying from Damo Reid. I can tell you it's lunch down at Headingley as well. Good session. Don't often say that about the Windies, but it's been a good session for West Indies. They're 90 for 2 for the West Indies in this particular session. Lunch has just been taken, including Night Watchman. England will sense they could have got a little bit more from their session, but it finishes on 109 for 3, so 90 runs added in this session. 2 wickets falling. West Indies are currently as things stand 149 runs behind England with 7 wickets remaining in their first innings. Keep an eye on that one for you, and of course talking all things sport, not just with the team here, but we've been joined by a real bevy of great sporting minds, including Andy Meikle, who's the founder of the ultimate app for sports fan 10, which has launched here in the UAE and worldwide. I just want to pick up on that fact about the worldwide aspect of it. Given the international appeal of the app, why launch it here in Dubai? Was it a perfect fit?
Yeah, absolutely. I think if we look at the way in which people consume sport here, the amount of time that they spend on social media being higher here than anywhere else in the world, the smartphone penetration in this region, there's a whole number of reasons why this would be the perfect market for us to launch and look to validate what our offering is, essentially, before we look to expand internationally, you can say.
Christo, ask you about sports there as well. I mean, obviously, 2 weeks in, you're taking one step at a time at the moment. Yeah. Is there the option to expand the sporting framework?
Yeah, absolutely. We'll look to do that in the future. To start with, we even considered launching just with one sport and seeing how people use the platform, how they use the stickers, how they engage with each other within the private chats, etc. But people are always pleasantly surprised when they download 10 and they find that it is a multi-sport app and that it covers 10 sports. So that's just where we're starting, and no doubt we'll look to expand into other sports in the future.
So Andy, if I was at this game right now between City and Bournemouth and I had the app open, how does it actually work? Would I take film of the whole entire game and send it out? Could you just maybe give me a 411 on how I use it?
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly fans that are doing that. I can't say that we have to we agree with that because of that's copyright infringement. But people are primarily the update comes in. It's all personalised. So when you register, you pick what team you support, get your updates, and you tap on whatever update comes in to create what we call a data sticker, basically giving context to what you're filming or what you're taking a picture of. You create that content and then you can share that with your friends. So that means that wherever you are, whether you're at the shops or you're at the match itself or whether you're at the pub, of course, you can share your emotion of the game or share that with your friends.
I just love the idea because here in Dubai, we're all expats. We're all from other different parts of the world. And guess what? All of our sports teams are not here. So, I mean, it just seems like a great way to interact with your friends who are still maybe back at home, back in Pittsburgh watching the Steelers, back in Manchester watching United. So it just seems like you can still you feel like you're at home when you're over here.
Yeah, that's it. I think that's the main thing. Look, there's obviously social platforms out there that allow you to keep in touch with friends all over the world. There's no doubt about that. But those do not provide the immediate sports data and content that you'd be looking for. And then the other sports apps are quite passive experiences. So bringing the two of them together allows you to share those moments and react with immediacy with your friends wherever they are in the world. You're absolutely right.
Perhaps an unfair question to you, Andy, given the fact that the app's only launched for 2 weeks. You talked about it, 10 sports currently. Give us a little flavour without revealing too much. I'm sure one or two competitors might be listening this afternoon. But what can we expect to be rolled out in the coming months, coming years, to harness and improve the facility and improve the gadgets, little gizmos for sports fans around the world?
Yeah, I think the main thing that we're going to focus on for the foreseeable future is to make it a very fun place to create content and share that content with your friends. Going forward, we will look to enable people to share that into the public pages. So if you were to go into, let's say, the Man City Bournemouth match page now, you can essentially follow the match through watching content from other fans around the world, whether it's the reactions, of course, as you mentioned, there may be content that shouldn't be shared on there, but it allows you to track the game wherever you are. Going further forward, as we're seeing, people are moving away from mainstream channels to watch sports. You know, there's a 20% decline in viewership of Premiership football, for example, Premier League football last year on Sky Sports. So people are moving to mobile, they're moving to online to watch their sports, and we hope that by giving people the right platform to create content, share that content, keep up to date, that we will move into that space as people continue to move away from TV.
And sorry, Tom, that ties in with what you said about your son, did it not, back end of last year. Young boys and girls now are consuming sport in a very different way. They don't want to sit and watch a football match for 90 minutes.
Yeah, everybody I'm having a conversation with at the moment, the key sort of term that keeps coming out is sport on demand, right? Music's on demand, everything. Netflix, is movies, videos, etc., everything's on demand. So why is sport not available on demand? And so you're absolutely right, the younger generation, which as you see from the app, is probably, you know, it's much more catered to the younger audience, making it much more fun for them to create that content. We're certainly looking at moving into the space of providing them with sport on demand in the future.
And the other thing that I've noticed with my fella as well is that, you know, he doesn't want to listen to pundits at halftime or before the game. He wants to interact with his mates, or influencer from their own channels as
Absolutely.
Well. That's the people he goes to for opinions. I think we've just shot ourselves in the foot.
Yeah, we have. Thanks for that. Out of a job come Sunday morning. Cheers to that.
But we'll carry on regardless. Listen, Andy, it's gone live. How do people get their hands on it?
So if they go to, the easiest way to get it to download for Android and for iOS is to go to our website, which is www.10.me, 10.me, and that will take you through to the Play Store, the App Store, to download the app, and it's free.
All the best with it. It is a great addition to the sporting landscape, not just here in Dubai, just in the region, but worldwide. So congratulations again for another little piece of gold. And in terms of sports, I mean, what would be your sport of choice?
Football. It has to be football.
Team?
Hibs.
Hibernian. I can let him off with that. Back in the Scottish Premiership and Scottish Cup winners a couple of seasons back
as
well.
I was there. I was there.
Ended a lot of years apart, that did as well. Beating Rangers as well always helps.
Yeah, exactly.
But a fight fan as well? Boxing fan?
Yeah, I'm into my boxing. I'll be watching the match tomorrow.
You're watching it tomorrow?
Yeah. And my money is on Mayweather.
Of course.
It sounds like everybody else is.
Well, we'll see. We're trying to find somebody who's giving Connor a chance at the moment. But listen, we'll be watching on with interest to see the reaction on Ten as well. Thanks so much indeed for your time.
Thank you very much.
This afternoon, Andy joining us live here at Barasti. Keep it locked on Dubai I-103.8. We've got Paul Weir in the house. We're getting more from here. And we're going to be meeting Samir, the GoSport Ninja Warrior. That's coming up a little later on in proceedings. Mark Hovey's also come in to give us his penny's worth on the boxing match tomorrow morning. Talking of boxing, well, we'll have more on that in just a little while. We can tell you that qualifying is underway over in Belgium. We'll keep an eye on that one for you. Let's just hear from the Mercedes boys now ahead of qualifying. Let's start with Lewis Hamilton on hopes at Spa.
Ferrari has been the most consistent this year, hence why they're leading. So we need to turn that around and make sure that we are the most consistent, and not just consistently finishing, but consistently finishing ahead of them and outperforming them more consistently. And that's really the goal now, and I think that's what we're all putting absolutely every bit of energy towards.
You know, fast makes it fairly straightforward. I think we have only to gain, so yeah, because of how strong they were in Silverstone and some similarities, I'd say they are the favourites going to here, but for sure we're not here to, you know, settle behind them. We want to attack, so let's see what we can do.
Unbelievable goal!
It's a homecoming. The grill is back at Barasti, the best bar to watch sport live every Saturday afternoon from Barasti.
Big thanks to Andy Meikle and all the team at 10. That's a good one, isn't it? It's going to work.
It is going to work, yes, and given his track record, obviously a co-founder of Sports Lobster, which garnered huge attention and was a huge success as well. I've no doubt that Andy will make a success of that, and I'm not stitching Ross up here when I say they're off air. Ross just turned to me and said, that man's going to be a millionaire, and he's probably right.
He will be on a desert island in 10 years from now.
He's already, isn't he? You're right. He's well off. Yeah.
Listen, big thanks to Andy. Thanks to that. Let's go to Bournemouth. Vitality, halftime.
Yeah, perfect timing, Tom. The halftime whistle has just blown down on the south coast of England. Really good match, this. That was an exciting 45 minutes. Could hardly take my eyes off it. It is halftime. It is Bournemouth 1, Manchester City 1. Charlie Daniels' stunning opening goal, cancelled out by Gabriel Jesus, the Brazilian number 9 or number 33, as the case may be, for Manchester City. Starts today ahead of Sergio Aguero, and he has meant that Pep Guardiola has got that decision absolutely spot on. More goals in this game undoubtedly to come, but at halftime it is Bournemouth 1, Manchester City 1.
Right, we are. We're going to turn our attention back to the world of boxing. Listen, everyone's having an opinion on tomorrow's fight. It is Mayweather against McGregor. Let's hear from Ricky Hatton, a man who's been there, done that. These are his thoughts on the fight.
I'm a little bit disappointed in how boxing has gone a little bit lately. You know, it's it was only, you know, wasn't so long ago where people were complaining that, you know, there's too many belts and weight divisions in boxing now. But now we've got, you know, all these belts and weight divisions. We've got all these fights made at catch weights. Do you know what I mean? You know, people are fighting for world titles, not making the weight, where, you know, the fight still takes place, but they're not fighting for the belt. I mean, that's the whole purpose of fighting for the belt in the first place, wasn't it? And now we've even got catch sports. I just think, I don't blame Conor, I don't blame Floyd, but it just shows you how boxing has gone. Massive money, massive purse is what they're getting, and that's what Floyd is all about, isn't it? But, you know, to be honest, if they'd have been offered me, I think I'd have took it. I'm not blaming Conor and I'm not blaming Floyd. You know, when you look at the purses they're getting, you can't blame the lads, but surely somebody, and I don't know who, I don't know whether it's boxing or UFC or whoever, needs to, you know, it's, we're in the boxing game and the UFC game, and this is just, for me, pure showbiz. I'm a fan of Conor McGregor's, to be honest with you. I hope he goes over there and beats Floyd. But if you're asking me opinion, you know, you got, you know, Canelo Alvarez, who did barely run around against Mayweather. You know, Oscar De La Hoya, probably one of the best technicians in boxing in my era. You know, he couldn't solve the puzzle, and even me with my hustle and bustle 100 mile an hour, I couldn't solve it. I just can't see how Conor is going to do it. Same points, you know, Conor's very, very physically strong. He's very, very tough. He's as, you know, as hard as they come. And Floyd, even though he knocked me out, he's not really murderous at a punch. It was a bit of fatigue setting as I was coming down the home straight. But I couldn't really say he was a murderous puncher. And I think Conor, you know, he's tough, strong, very physically strong. I just see it being probably a unanimous decision for Floyd Mayweather, where he wins probably every round.
Obviously, boxing going from strength to strength here in the region. One of the men who's been an architect of that through pushing the amateur game is Mark Povey through his white-collar concept. Poves joins us this afternoon. Good to see you, Poves.
Good afternoon.
Thanks so much indeed for joining us. McGregor or Mayweather for you?
as I was saying earlier, I'm a bit of a cynic, really, and a bit of a purist. No.
Popes.
I had 4 days in bed when they said international T20 was coming to cricket. this takes the biscuit for me. Winner, greed. Loser, boxing. Possibly MMA. But in the ring, Mayweather.
Right, we are. Okay, we'll get more thoughts from Poves throughout proceedings. We'll also get more details on the forthcoming, the next white collar event. It's going to be a goodie, so stay tuned for details on that. We're also going to get the opinions of a man who's been there, done that.
Talking all things sport and live from Barasti. Release your inner beast this summer and get lost at the lost world of Barasti.
Apologies, you dropped out there just as we were hearing from the illustrious former career of the former undefeated WBO minimum weight champion and the former WBO light flyweight champion. Paul Weir is live with us down here at Barasti. Just listening in to one of those successful fights. Paul, fond memories for you?
Fond memories, yeah. It was just flies by.
Flies by, doesn't it? Just listen, really appreciate your time this afternoon. A man that's helping to push the push boxing here in the region with your extraordinary experience. Just give us a sort of boxing insight into tomorrow morning's fight, Mayweather against McGregor. There's been a lot of chat. How do you read it?
It's just I think it's not a boxing event. It's more of an event. It's more an event rather than a boxing event because it's Conor's having his very first fight. You know. They say boxed amateur, but nobody's seen any footage or any images or pictures. You know, in the world we live in now, everyone posts it, especially Conor. Anything Conor does, it's online. So I think Conor was one of these guys that went into a gym, liked boxing, but fell into MMA and continued to do it. And when you look through his fight, when Conor fights, he wins by stand-up. It's throwing punches rather than so much, you know, the grappling game or on the ground. You know, most of his fights are finished by his hands, especially his left hand. So I think that's why the boxing element, why this fight came. Conor's a massive star worldwide, globally. He got me watching UFC and because he's a charismatic character, you know. And Mayweather, where else could Mayweather get a payday and where else could Conor get a payday? Conor's never going to earn that money in UFC, and Floyd's never ever going to have a rematch with Manny because there's not enough demand since the last fight. So it's a freak one-off show. In my opinion,
is it good for boxing?
I think it's good for everyone. I mean, the publicity, you know, boxing's going to get. You've got the critics that are saying Conor's going to knock Floyd out. Well, the 25 world champions who have tried before Conor, you know, experienced world champions, competent world champions who have had an extensive amateur career, who've gone to fight professional, won world titles, not just one, two, three, four, five world titles, and they couldn't touch Floyd. So I don't know how someone having his first fight. Amateur professional, you know, they expect him to beat Floyd.
Completely agree with that, Paul. Completely. There's no doubt.
Give you another analogy. What happens if Floyd was to fight Conor next week or next month in the Octagon? Who would win?
Conor.
Why?
Because it's his skill set.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So why do people think that Conor can beat Floyd? Because he's 40. Floyd lives a clean life. He's a consummate professional. He tells you he's never in the gym. I'm tired, I'm sore. He's never out the gym.
And as well, Paul, his former moniker, his former nickname was Pretty Boy. He still looks, you know, me and the missus this morning watching videos of him today, and she turned to me and said, he looks 21, for goodness sake. He is 40 years, age is just a number. I'm going to put you on the spot here, though, and there's a lot of ifs and buts. Let's just, for 1 second, take on the fanciful view that Conor gets a win. How he does it, who knows, but he gets a win. He knocks him out, he catches Floyd cold in the opening round and wins this. You said it's good for everyone. What if Conor wins? Is that good for boxing?
I suppose you're going to the critics and saying it's no good for boxing because you've got an all-time great.
He's been 49-0.
You know, he's fought 25 former world champions who couldn't touch him or get close to him. And you've got a guy coming here having his first fight. And you know what? I understand. You know, Conor's, you know, unorthodox in what he does. You know, he's erratic, you know. The way he moves, you know, he's always moving. In boxing, there's a difference with the movement in boxing gauging your distance.
Yeah.
Conor's an aggressive counter-puncher. He doesn't box in the back foot. Now, if I was Floyd, I would take the fight. I would force the fight because Floyd's a counter-puncher. And I would have role reverse. I would force Conor in the back foot, make Conor work every minute because from what I've seen footage-wise, his defence was very erratic, very loose, not very tight, and Floyd Mayweather will take full advantage of that. And I know they're saying Floyd doesn't hit. Trust me, for a remember, the 25 former world champions he's beat are trained to avoid these shots and how to absorb the shots. Conor's no.
Yeah.
And I think that's the difference. I mean, I think Floyd will spend first 3, 4, 5 rounds gauging his range, gauging the distance, his and Conor's, and take full advantage of it and expose him and dissect him bit by bit to break him up and stop him. Anywhere for the sixth round onwards, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, and I do see a TKO. I don't think Conor will come out from his corner. Maybe 7th, 8th round.
I think Conor could be dangerous the first 3 rounds when he's full of energy, but he's never going to be hurt to the body as much as what Floyd will hit him. And Floyd's not a big, massive body puncher, but he does chip away at it. He does, and I understand people saying, you know, Conor gets kicked with these. I understand that. I completely understand that. But how many times do you see in the UFC fights them actually getting kicked to the stomach?
Paul, I just want to get your thoughts on Floyd Mayweather's legacy. He's coming into this. He's avoided many fights in his career. He's got to handpick his opponents his last 20 or so fights. You, as a professional boxer, a former professional boxer, do you consider him as a top 5 greatest boxer of all time? Or do you think the kind of way he went about his career, weaving through, dodging some of the big fights, waiting, making us wait for the Pac-Man fight and the real big names, that tarnishes his unblemished record?
I think you know, when you look at boxing or any sports now, it's a commercial business. You know, and Floyd, I remember when he was signed with Top Rank, I'm not sure whether any of you will be aware of it, he was signed with Top Rank when he first turned professional. He was offered a 6-fight deal for $12 million by Bob Arum. And this is why they fell out, because Floyd told Bob it was slave labour. He couldn't fight for $12 million for 6 fights. So it works out $2 million a fight. Now, when you look at what he got for fighting Pacquiao, you know, he grossed over $100 million, you know, without pay-per-view and sponsors. This fight tomorrow night, what he's going to get. So you can understand the business element of it and why he's done it. He fought Canelo at the right time. He fought De La Hoya at the right time. You know, he fought Cotto at the right time. Marquez at the right time. He's fought 25 world champions. And sometimes it's about who you don't fight and what times to, you know, sustain it. And this is what he's done. They've used it as a business element, a business tool, and they've maximised what they can get financially. And look at what he's doing. I mean, he's going to be probably the first sports person to gross $1 billion within. I know there's sports people done it with sponsorships, but ring earnings, he's going to have grossed over $1 billion tomorrow night by ring earnings. So you've got to take your hat off to him.
You definitely do. The business acumen, as much as the boxing ring craft that Floyd Mayweather has shown, has been exponential and has been something that I think we all have to doff our caps to. Regarding the fight tomorrow then, tomorrow morning early time here in the UE, you'll be watching it, I'm sure, Paul. How do you expect, what do you expect to see from Conor in all of this? Is he going to be a jester? Is he going to be a bit of a circus freak in those early rounds to try and throw off Floyd, do you feel?
I think he'll charge at Floyd. I do. I think he'll come at Floyd. Because Floyd's proven, he's at the end of his career, there's nothing left to prove, but Conor still, he wants to get where Mayweather is financially. You know, and so if he goes in there tomorrow night, if he waits in Floyd, Floyd's a counterpuncher, sits in the back foot, he's going to wait in Conor coming. So if Conor's sitting waiting in Floyd, it's going to be a boring fight. But I think Conor charges at Floyd to try and make him, to hit him. He's emphasised in the size range, you know, what he has, the size he's got over him, the weight he's got over him. I think he's going to come out tomorrow night and try, tonight I should say, and try and take advantage of it.
Poves, it's fascinating listening to Paul there saying that Conor's going to rush at Floyd. It's a bit like what we see with the amateur boxers, isn't it, at the white collar events that you put on here. It's I guess getting at your opponent quickly, getting in their face and trying to make something happen.
Well, they all go pretty crazy in the first minute, and then it calms down after that. I think that's what's going to happen tomorrow. The one thing that worries me about tomorrow is it ends up as a bit of a non-event.
Yeah.
If it ends up like the Pacquiao fight, and people are walking away from that thinking, do you know what, that was a complete waste of money, of my time. That worries me, because I think that would be bad for boxing. I think it would be bad all round. I hope he is going to go crazy for the first couple of rounds and then get put in his place about the fifth. That's what I'm hoping.
But they won't. The powers that be, given the money that's been invested in this fight and the build-up to it, they won't allow it to be a non-event, will they?
I don't think they can. How they can stop it once the two of them are in there?
I think Floyd's going to. I think Floyd.
Toy with it.
I think. No, I think. I mean, Floyd. since the pack, he's always, you know, went on about the Packer fight, how a non-starter, as Mal said, was a non-starter. And I think he feels he owes it to the boxing fans to come out. I think Floyd puts a performance on tomorrow. It's going to be his last fight. He ain't going to come back. I think he'll go out tomorrow night and he puts a performance on. And I think if Floyd and his team were under any illusions that this could be a dangerous fight for him, he was not going to win, it wouldn't be happening.
Yeah.
Floyd, it's all about the legacy. He's got enough money.
He's gentlemen, sorry to interrupt you there, Paul. Gentlemen, if he gets in the ring tomorrow, if Conor makes this a match, say he doesn't win, all right, but he makes it competitive, do you see that opening the floodgates of MMA fighters coming over into the boxing ring? Do you see this happening?
I think they all think they've got a chance, yes. Yeah. I think if what is the best boxer in the world at the moment is put through his paces by an MMA guy, then I think they're all going to think they've got a chance, yeah.
So it makes sense business-wise at the end of the day, right? For Dana White, for these fighters.
For them all, and also the people who have just bought over the UFC. I mean, look at how much they're going to recoup tomorrow night, or tonight, I should say, and if it was to happen again. You've got Tony Bellew already in talks, trying to make a fight, hasn't he? One of the guys for the UFC.
Michael Bisping, wasn't it?
I mean, that's probably a fight that would sell in the UK. I don't know whether so much you would get the American fans tuning in for Bellew, but Bisping, they know Bisping. But there's very few and far between, you know. Conor's a one-off, you know, he's unique. Floyd's one-off, he's unique in the boxing. Same with Conor in the UFC. So who else do you have in both disciplines?
Well, I don't know, the floodgates are open now, aren't they? You could have Anthony Joshua against John Cena, you know. It's going to be the US against the Europe for that one, isn't it? That's for sure. Listen, I'm just going to get some more thoughts on this one from those that have been giving their opinions. We'll get more from Paul, we'll get more from Pose. Introducing our next guest in just a few moments' time. Let's hear from Carl Froch. Carl Froch's been working through what he thinks and believes is what makes Mayweather great.
Mayweather's just good in every department. He's good defensively, he's good offensively. He can stand and have a fight, he can fight up close, he can fight on his back foot. His counter-punching ability is second to none. His lead right hand and the right-hand counter-punch, I've never seen anybody throw a right hand like it. All us fighters, if we could get away with hitting up and not getting hit, would happily oblige that and happily do that every single time we stepped in the ring, because it's about not getting hit. That's what the sport and the art of pugilism is all about, and Floyd Mayweather does that better than anybody I've ever seen.
And the thoughts there of another former champion. We're going to be talking to, we're in conversation with Paul Weir, with Mark Povey, the boys alongside me as well, Russ Christ and Chris McCarty. We're joined also by our next guest. Go Sport here in the UAE, currently supporting Sami Khalidis, who was the first Ninja Warrior participant from the UAE to take part in the Ninja Warrior Arabia Season 1 that was staged over in Egypt. She's currently training for two things, Ninja Warrior Arabia Season 2 and the Cycle for Gaza. We're going to be finding out more about those in just a few moments' time. She joins us live from our broadcast position. Sami, thanks so much indeed for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Listening on with interest about the fight as well tomorrow. I'm taking by how much you were listening that you are a fight fan. Which way do you see this fight going tomorrow?
Oh, man, I don't know enough about fighting. I'm just a sports fan in general, but I think if Mayweather loses at his own game, it'll be a bit embarrassing, to say the least. That's all I know.
That's all you need to say. I think that's pretty much
it. I mean, it's his skill set, so...
Talk to me about Ninja Warrior very quickly. For those out there that don't know the Ninja Warrior series, which has been such a huge success the world over, what was it about Ninja Warrior? How do you explain Ninja Warrior to those that don't know about it?
So Ninja Warrior is a reality TV obstacle course competition. It started in Japan with Sasuke, and it's huge in the US right now, in the UK. And basically, it's a series of obstacles through one course, and you just have to get from point A to point B as quick as possible by not falling in the water under you, getting through these obstacles. So it could be anything from like agility drills, grip things, climbing, all that kind of stuff, like really interesting.
How did the opportunity come about for you to take part in season one?
So it was kind of random. Someone just contacted me. I think they're trying to promote it in the Arab world. It was the first season. Someone just contacted me and was like, hey, you're into sports. We're trying to get kind of different athletes from all different sports. Want to try Ninja Warrior? And I was like, what do you mean? I've never done anything like this. This is crazy. Like, I'm not sure. And it was in November, and I think I had like 2 weeks to decide. And I thought about it for a bit, and I was like, well, why not? Like, it's a challenge, and it seems really cool, and I'd like to see what I could do with no expectations. So I just went ahead for it.
And in terms of your sort of sporting background, I mean, I don't know how one sort of gets into ninja straight away. I think it's not a straightforward path.
It's not.
But what was your sort of sporting background?
So I've played sports my whole life. I grew up playing basketball mainly, and then did some weightlifting, Olympic lifting, and that's kind of what I focus on right now, and dabbled in calisthenics as well. So that's kind of what interested me in it. So I just kind of love challenges and kind of testing myself and seeing what I can achieve. So I was like, okay, well, let's try it. So have a little bit of agility, a little bit of upper body strength, all those kind of things came together. And I was like, yeah, let me just try this ninja thing.
You're training for season two as well. So you're going back for more.
Yes.
And you've been spotted down at Go Sport in Mall of the Emirates using the wall down there. Is that helping the training?
Yes. I love the wall. I'm there like every week. it definitely is helping the training. They have great trainers. So basically for problem solving, figuring out routes, but also mainly grip strength and upper body strength. That's what I use it the most for, and it's perfect for the summertime as well when there's literally nothing to do outside. It's too hot. So
I actually got to go to the American Ninja Warrior this summer
no
in
way.
Las Vegas, and it blew my mind. It absolutely blew my mind to see these guys and girls jumping up and seeing how far they can go without falling in the water. I saw a guy with a prosthetic leg
yes,
doing it.
It's insane.
It was phenomenal. Question, do you have a coach for this?
I do not, no. And that's kind of what differentiates it over here being such a young sport, and it's not very well recognized yet either. And in the U.S., people have ninja courses in their backyard. Like, they build their own things out of, like, wood and have coaches and solely train for it, which is really cool. But I'm starting to do that a little more. But right now I have a coach, just a weightlifting coach, and then kind of work on different aspects of Ninja Warrior separately. So calisthenics, agility things, and stuff like that. So no specific coach for Ninja Warrior.
I guess one of the obvious questions as well, Samia, is how did you get on in season one?
it was the best experience of my life. How did I get on? I was disappointed with how I did. I'm very competitive. And with Ninja Warrior, you don't really compete against
no.
other athletes. You kind of like compete against yourself, right? You try to beat the course and complete it. And I just fell in something that I shouldn't have. It was an agility thing, three coins that were hung from either end. And if you don't hit the middle, you just fall in the water. So it was a silly mistake. It's really tough when you go out there and the lights are on you and the camera's there and you don't get to try the course before, not even once. So you just go and kind of and minimal chance for error.
Nervous standing at the start line?
Yeah,
before.
I don't really like attention much. So it was kind of like nerve-wracking.
But you're back for season two.
I am. I want to beat that obstacle.
You're going to right the wrongs.
Yes, I am.
You mentioned that this is a budding sport. We have it in Japan. We have it over in the States. And
yeah.
now we're having it in Egypt. Where do you see ninjaism evolving? Where do you see? What do you think the future is of the sport?
I think it's awesome. It just keeps growing and growing. And they keep adding new insane obstacles. I think over here, eventually, I mean, they're starting to have different ninja courses pop up over the summer, especially after Ninja Warrior in Arabic season one. And I just think I see it kind of just, I guess, getting tougher and tougher.
Yeah. It's interesting that we're having this conversation and we're in the presence of Paul Weir and Mark Povey as well, because, I mean, Paul, you're a man who dedicated your life to the art of boxing as well, but you were seeing the growth of these sort of cross-sport cultures at the moment where different disciplines are coming in. We're going to see one of the great unifications of that tomorrow morning with MMA meeting boxing in the ring for the very first time. Is this the future of sport? Is this the future for not just boxing but for other things to try and cross-pollinate with other sports?
I think so. When I was younger and I started boxing, we used to do circuits every night.
Yes.
You know, now they're called it's called CrossFit.
Yeah.
You know, it's just different. You know, they come up with these terminologies. You know, where everyone can make money, and we live in a commercial world.
Mm.
You know, and I think, you know, if Ninja Warriors is getting viewing figures, it's going to continue to grow.
Yeah.
You know, in the beginning, I suppose if it's in the Middle East here now, if it's in Dubai, it's going to spread. If it's in Egypt, it's going to spread.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
And just to add to what Paul said there, I think one of the key things with Ninja Warrior is that it's so easy cross-pollinated into a social world. Using the videos and using Ross's example in there, we've seen some of the videos from the US. If someone does the course in their own panache, in their own style, if they smash the record, invariably it's picked up, it's shared on social media. I come across Ninja Warrior an awful lot just on my social media feed.
Yeah.
Even if you're not aware of it, someone will share it because an individual has completed it in their own unique way. And that sports nowadays are tailored to that. These great goals that were scored, shared on social media. Yep. If Floyd Mayweather gets a knockout tomorrow, it's shared on social media. And an awful lot of sports that are becoming popular in today's world are easily accessible.
And people try and replicate
media. Exactly.
All the time, it just grows and grows and grows.
I suppose that's something you've seen, Pose, with the white-collar concept here, is that ordinarily, I mean, when we set out on the white-collar journey, it was white-collar fights. It was amateur fights. We had, what, eight a night. Now there is a cross-pollination. You're having sort of kickboxing bouts. You're having amateurs and some semi-professional fights as well. So things are changing.
I mean, they are. I think with Paul being here and other boxers, and when we started out, 2006, it was a complete wow factor. No one was boxing here at all. And I think now there's a lot of people boxing. There's a lot of mixed martial arts. There's a lot of small tournaments and small competitions happening. And people like Paul and Howard are putting a lot into lifting the profile. There are more gyms opening, there are more facilities, and it's all great. I mean, whether it's cross-pollinating, I don't know. We put your kickboxing fight in because just to liven things up a bit on an evening, you know. And we put a couple of heavyweights in that go a bit crazy now and again. So, you know, we're kind of in the entertainment industry as much as anything else, so we're there to entertain. A bit like tomorrow night, I'm looking at it as a bit of entertainment. I don't know. I'm not taking tomorrow too seriously. I think it's got serious implications. I mean, does it mean we're going to have Roger Federer playing badminton? I mean, you know, what's going to be happening next? You know.
Well, there's an interesting point that you bring up, and is this the risk that, you know, you're a man who's given blood, sweat, and tears for the art of boxing as well? Is there the risk that boxing can go too far? And forget the art of boxing and what boxing, the fundamentals of boxing, because of the paycheck of entertainment?
It's all about money. It's what sells. It's what viewing for TV stations now are demanding viewing figures.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when they're running shows, when the promoters are running shows, if it's not, they don't get the right figures, they don't give them a backing to run the shows. So this, tomorrow, I mean, what, HBO, is it Showtime?
Showtime.
I mean, America do it big, don't they? They do it massive. You get Showtime. Vegas will be stowed just now. All the hotels will be making money. All the events will be making money with people going to the events before they go to the big event, which is the fight. All the airlines are making money. Everyone's making money. You know, and they get viewing figures tomorrow night. Who's to say where it stops?
Yeah, that's the worry in all of this. And to bring you back into this, Samir, it's interesting that Povey there mentioned that boxing has grown, certainly, and I've now been here just over 7 years. The world of fitness in front of my very eyes right here in the UE has changed exponentially that time.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone is a fitness expert. Everyone is a nutritionist. And I mean that with the greatest of respect, but everyone, fitness now has taken hold of Dubai and the UE, isn't it? You must have seen a change as well.
I have. I actually grew up here, so I've kind of seen it evolve from when it was very, very, like a little village almost, all the way to today. And it's grown exponentially. And I think Dubai just loves... They love new things and they love trends and they just pick up on all the trends and stuff like that. So fitness right now, I think, is a big trend per se all over the world. So I think is just kind of even bigger here.
Yeah. We're going to take a very short break. When we come back, we're going to finish things up with Paul, with Mark, and with Samir. So do stay with us. If you've got any questions for the team, then please do text them through to us now on 4001. We'll keep them for a few more minutes. We'll also have qualification for the Belgian Grand Prix. Damo will tell us who came out on top of that. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Grill, broadcasting live from Brasti.
It's a homecoming. The Grill is back at Barasti. The best bar to watch sport live every Saturday afternoon from Barasti.
Any more goals to report? Chris McCarty.
No, is the quick answer to that one. 63 minutes on the clock at the Vitality Stadium. One thing I would just say, it does remain Bournemouth 1, Manchester City 1. The game is getting stretched now. It's more reminiscent of a basketball match. Bournemouth attack, then Man City attack. And invariably, when a game goes to that, you always favour the team that has the more attacking threat. That is undoubtedly Manchester City. A quick glance to the bench as well. Sergio Aguero, Leroy Sané on there as well. So I still fancy City in the final half hour to get this job done, but it is evenly poised. It is Bournemouth 1, Manchester City 1.
Let us get some more thoughts on the big fight tomorrow morning. We're going to get thoughts from the panel and the team here in just a few mo's, but Paulie Malignaggi is a name that has cropped up during the build-up to this fight. How does he read it on the eve of?
Paulie's got it on. You've got 30 seconds, Paulie. I'll leave you alone. Hit it!
Okay, Mayweather will win this fight because, first of all, 20 years as a world champion. He's the better fighter. He's the counterpuncher. This is a boxing match. He's got the more variation to his arsenal. Nothing that you've done before can come into the ring with you. Press clippings don't win fights. So I don't care what either guy has done before, busting the odds or whatnot. Mayweather is the better fighter. He's the more complete fighter. He has the more varied arsenal. Feints destroy counterpunchers. They talk about Conor's counterpunching. Mayweather is the best, has the best feints in boxing. He's just a more complete fighter overall. He's going to go to the body. He's going to go to the head.
Time! Damn. You've got some work to do. You got to back it up. You ready? Let's reset. 30 seconds. You fight your corner, son. Off you go.
McGregor's a special athlete. You know, he's stepping into boxing to make his debut. He's generating more money in the sport of boxing as a debutant than anybody else. You know, the odds are better than the Canelo Mayweather fight. You've got to think about that. I mean, Canelo's a monster, but McGregor's stepping in for his debut. He's got better odds than Canelo. He's a bigger man. He's a power puncher. He stands at long range. He covers distance very quickly. And you've got to think, when he's inside, when he's working in the clinch, he's going to be able to rough him up. A little dirty boxing, skirt the line of the rules a little bit, push him around, make him, you know, bully him a little bit, command the center of the ring, and then when he lands the right hand, it's a nuclear weapon.
You little cheater. Now, I did like your state your case about how much money he's generated in this fight. Good one. You talked fact. You talked history. You said it how it was. My problem is, it's the modern era. It's the modern day. I'm sorry, man. I'm going down.
Sure. Come on. So that Boom. Was Paulie Malignaggi against Dan Hardy. Dan Hardy won that battle of the 30 seconds, which was, of course, called by Johnny Nelson. A little build-up to this fight. We've got Paul Weir with us here, the former undefeated WBO minimum weight champion. Paul, interesting little point that Dan Hardy makes there about skirting the line of the rules. I mean, the rules of boxing are well known. They've been set down for many, many generations, many, many years. With this sort of new fight, will there be a skirting of the rules?
I wouldn't think so. It's a boxing match, so it's under boxing rules. And I don't know, who's the referee tomorrow night?
The referee, we'll get back to that in a second. It's a veteran
Cortes?
Referee.
Is it Cortes? I'll double check that.
It's a veteran referee. He just got sanctioned about 2 weeks ago, and he has about 40 fights under his belt.
So it depends who the referee is and what they allow McGregor to get away with tomorrow. Because he can't hold behind the head. That's a foul straight away. So Floyd's used to being in close with people trying to lie on top of him, you know, and covering up. Canelo's done it. Cotto's done it. De La Hoya's done it. So what can Conor actually do to rough him up? You know, the minute the hands come away, he opens himself up, Floyd takes advantage. Floyd's a genius at this. And, he thrives in people making mistakes. He sits and waits and he waits. And you make the mistake and he'll capitalise and take advantage and punish.
There's actually a clause in this fight contract, guys, that if any funny business were to happen inside the ring, Conor's purse starts to get forfeited. So if he were to come in and do a takedown or choke slam him or try to tap him out, something like that, yeah. He pulls a John Cena all of a sudden, just goes absolutely ape in the ring. He'd forfeit some of his dollar bills there.
And I can tell you, it is not Cortes, it's Robert Byrd. Robert who's the Byrd, man okay. That's officiating. A veteran, 74 years of age, so we expect him to. Letter of the law means letter of the law.
Listen, Vegas, it's the fight's in Vegas. Floyd runs Vegas.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I'm trying to think who was the one of the judges when he fought Canelo. The judging the scorecards were pretty wrong. It was a female, I believe. She's never judged again since.
Mm. Says it all, really.
Floyd has a lot of control over a lot of the officials, and I'm not saying he's going to use that, but he'll make sure it's within boxing rules, and nothing out within boxing rules.
You said it, Paul, about 20 minutes ago, and it's a point that's been raised. Floyd Mayweather's legacy matters. That O in boxing, it didn't matter really until Floyd came on the scene. The greats have all lost fights. It's an indicative of you going up against the very best. Floyd has made that O so, so important now in the world of boxing. He is not going to put all of that legacy on the line for this fight. And now I'm not for 1 second saying that it's a fix. All I'm saying is it is heavily, heavily, heavily stacked in Floyd Mayweather's
fight. I would think so. And just for the record, Floyd's not the first fighter to go to 50-0. There's a fighter who's went to 50. I'll leave you with that thought. There was already a fighter who's went to 50-0-0 and won. He got one draw in a world title fight. Then he avenged the world title fight in the rematch, then got the win.
Ooh, nice ball.
I'll leave you with that, and I'll tell you offline who it is, and you can. So there was already someone done that, and he done it in my era.
But here's the thing. We're all boxing fans here. I mean, Paul, you guys probably know a little bit more than us four sitting right here. That one on whoever this mystery person is, that one is the reason we don't know who he is. That's why we know that zero on Floyd Mayweather. We know Floyd Mayweather because he has that zero next to his thing. You said this person went 50-0 and had a draw, right?
He's got one draw, but he's never been beat. And I think he said maybe something like 29 world title defenses.
Wow.
In my era.
Poves?
Yes, mate. What do you want to know?
The answer, please.
Oh, the answer. No, I wouldn't want to spoil it.
Listen, we are going to have to draw a line under this one. We could talk ad infinitum about this fight, but thankfully the rest of the world have done that for the last 2 years or so. We will get predictions very, very shortly. We have been joined by Smir Kalidis, who is Ninja Warrior extraordinaire here in the region. You're getting ready for season two. I suppose we're talking Vegas there. That would be one of the dreams, wouldn't it, to go and do Ninja down there?
That would be a dream.
Is that likely?
I don't think I can, because I'm not an American citizen. But that would be amazing. I'll just need a lot more training.
Which you're going about the right way at the moment.
You've maybe caught on to something here, Tom. Maybe we could have Ninja Warrior Worldwide, where all the individual best individuals come together and face off to declare the ultimate Ninja Warrior champion.
So they actually started doing a team series in Vegas as well, where they have the U.S. versus Europe versus South America and that kind of stuff. So they kind of have a little bit of that going on. So maybe that's an option.
But all the best with season two. Training ongoing at the moment. I know you've teamed up with GoSport, amongst others, to perfect yourself for season two as well. I just want to give you a quick chance as well for you to tell us about Cycle for Gaza, because that's also something you're doing at the moment.
Yeah, so Cycling for Gaza is a non-profit initiative where they cycle every year. We're doing September 24th to 28th in Madrid. Actually not in Madrid, we're cycling across Spain 300 kilometers starting in Madrid to raise awareness and funds for kids with PTSD, so Palestinian children with post-traumatic stress disorder, to basically get medical aid for them, psychologists, psychiatrists, and kind of get a summer camp and stuff like that, just to make things a little brighter for them.
If people want to keep tabs on your progress on that, but also on training for season two of Ninja Warrior Arabia, best way for them to do that?
Through my Instagram, it's at Skelidis. Basically, I just kind of keep track of what's going on. GoSport helped me with a bike as well, so no need to worry about that. An amazing bike and all the gear for cycling, which I'm going to take with me. Keep tabs through my Instagram.
We will indeed. All the best with the forthcoming challenges. Can't let you go without prediction for tomorrow's
Thank
fight.
You.
I know you'll be getting up nice and early to watch it like the rest of the world.
I will.
Who's going to win tomorrow?
Mayweather.
Good answer.
Just done, right there. We've got Paulie Weir here as well, former undefeated WBO minimum weight champion. Paul, obviously we've been talking a lot about the fight tomorrow, but we haven't talked enough about the efforts that you, Pose, and the rest of the team are putting into building boxing here in the region. Are you happy with the way things are progressing?
It's slowly progressing. You know, Matt's been running shows here for a long time, and, you know, we're trying to kind of change things here. The UAE Boxing Federation do have a team, but they don't spend enough time as they do with the other sports like jiu-jitsu, you know, horse racing, you know. There's so many different things that they need to invest in, you know, the grassroots of the sport if they want it to grow. But there is potential, 100%.
Potential out there. You're working your socks off to try and find the future talent and to work on that potential at the moment. So we thank you for that. We thank you also for your time. I'm not letting you go, Weary, without giving us a prediction, though, for tomorrow. I think I've worked out where who you think's going to win it, but give us an idea of when he's going to win it as well.
I think Mayweather wins a fight. The fight will start pretty sharp with Conor. You know, an exciting three, four rounds. I think Floyd will find his range, find his timing, find Conor's range and timing, and take advantage and dissect him and break him up anywhere for the six rounds onward. And he'll break it up through the middle. Body shots will play a factor.
Yeah. The thoughts there of Paul Weir, and finally the thoughts of Mark Povey, the founder of White Collar Boxing here in the region. White Collar Fight Night 74, is it?
Number 18 coming
18,
up.
Okay. In, when is it?
It'll be, we announced the dates next week, but it's going to be in November, yeah.
Okay, in November. Same format as before?
We've got 20 guys and girls starting training on the 9th of September, so we've got a full card. It looks like out of that we're going to have 8 good fights. We might be putting on a couple of the exhibition bouts like we did last time. Yep, be good.
And if people want to get in touch with you and all things White Collar, best way for them to do that is?
My website, which is mjp-me.com, or dash if you're a new person, not an old person like me.
And Paul, I forgot to ask if people want to get in touch with you in terms of trying to take it to the next level for boxing, etc. What's the best way for people to get in touch with you?
Instagram. Yeah. I'm on my Instagram. WBO Champ.
Perfect, quite
it's
right.
It's a good
too.
One, that. I love that. WBO champ. Follow him because he is the champ and he is a man that will, well, he knows a lot more about boxing than us, that's for sure.
The only person who hasn't given us a prediction for the fight tomorrow is you, Popes.
Right. Well, just a word of caution. Brexit, Trump, do we need another big surprise? And if we do get the surprise, which I hope we don't, then we're going to see boxing looking like WWE in the future.
Kem and Amber winning Celebrity Love Island as well. That was a bit of a shock, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, absolutely.
All sorts happening. Big thank you to Poves. Big thanks to Paulie Weir. Thank you, mate. Thank you so much indeed for being with us. Samir, thank you very much indeed to you as well for being with us. Really appreciate it. We're going to continue the conversation. We are going down. We're going to, where are we going? We're going to Newcastle in a minute, aren't we?
We are, yeah. We're off to Newcastle. We'll get team news ahead of Newcastle West Ham. We've got Damo Reid as well. We're hopeful to be joined by Paul Espy looking ahead to the US Open, tennis's final Grand Slam of the year. Plenty to talk about in the final hour.
Final hour coming up after this.
It's a homecoming. The Grill is back at Barasti. The best bar to watch sport live every Saturday afternoon from Barasti.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.